Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Greg Dickerson in for Rich, who's gone away to a wedding. He'll be back tomorrow, back in his normal spot here. It'll be day one of the World Series tomorrow night at Fenway Park. Let's clear up a couple of things here. We mentioned earlier that Adam Schefter said, pending the outcome of the test results, it was thought that Sonny Michel's knee injury may not be as bad as initially feared. Ian Rappaport has just tweeted out, sources, Patriots running back Sonny Michel's knee injury is not considered serious following his MRI. His timetable isn't clear, but this is pretty good news for their impressive rookie runner. He still could miss time, but if he does, it may not be much.
That's shocking.
When I saw them help him shocking. Off the field, I thought his season was done.
Yep. I did too.
So I'm very happy that first Schefter and now Rappaport. Now, when Schefter was tweeting it out a couple of hours ago, the MRI hadn't been done yet.
Right. But you kind of had to know that coming from Schefter, the way he positioned his report, he had kind of heard something or was told something that, yeah, we still have to do the MRI, but it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. And now we find out apparently it's not that big of a deal through Rappaport.
And going back to something Rob was just talking about, Rob Ninkovich, he was talking about, why don't people just say James White is one of the best running backs in the National Football League? Here's a couple of numbers to keep in mind, okay? James White, his career high for receptions in a season is 60. That's the most he's ever had. After yesterday's game, caught 8 passes, 10 targets, 57 yards, 2 touchdowns. He now has 45 receptions and 6 receiving touchdowns through 7 games so far this year. He's the first back in NFL history to reach those records, those numbers, in the team's first 7 games. First in history. The NFL record for receptions in a season by a running back is 102. That was Matt Forte back in 2014. He's on a pace to finish with 103. And remember now, his career high is 60. So think about those numbers for a minute.
Let me give you 3 names. I'll give you 4 names, okay? James White, Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt. List those as from 1 to 4 most well-known running backs in the NFL.
Oh, from Gurley easily.
From your average football. Yeah. And I'll say James White is 4th.
Oh, he'd be 4th.
He'd be 4th, which is remarkable based on the statistics. I'm kind of backing up what you're saying based on the stats that you read and based on the fact that he had the game-winning touchdown
in the freaking Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Yet when people talk about running backs, he's basically an afterthought. Leonard Fournette is talked about more. David Johnson is talked about out in Arizona probably more than James White is.
I want to clear up one other thing because...
Is it something I screwed up?
No, it's something I screwed up.
Oh, good. Oh.
Yeah, so I want to clear this up as well. I have, in the amount of time we've been here since we first discussed this an hour and a half ago, I have seen another camera angle that I had not seen before.
Oh, the spitting.
There is no doubt Rajon Rondo spit in Chris Paul's face. Absolutely no doubt. I had not seen this angle until an hour ago.
This the Zapruder angle that you're finally seeing?
I don't know if it's the Zapruder. I hadn't seen that angle. It is clear that he did.
Yeah, it's obvious. And as I said,
and there is just nothing worse. Is there anything worse than you can do than spit in another man's face?
And I had forgotten.
And I'd say man, I don't mean not. It's okay to do it to a woman. I don't mean that at all. It's
Lucy, is that true?
Yeah,
that's the worst thing.
That's the worst thing. Okay.
It's disgusting.
The worst. And he absolutely, positively did it. Now, the Lakers have been doubling down in his defense, and I understand that. He plays for them.
Luke,
they got to defend
Luke
him.
Luke Walton was effusive in his defense of him. Based on First of all, you got to remember, and I was mixing this up because I've been so involved in looking at the spitting. He spit, and then the fingers went into
the face. Chris Paul put the fingers up towards the eye.
Yes.
And then the punch.
Because Ninkovich was in here, and we were talking about it off the air, and he's like, hey, wait a minute. You know, you stick your fingers in my eye, in my face, all bets are off.
He also said, don't touch me in practice. Don't touch me, bro. I mean, Rob, I don't know if you know this, but football players in practice will occasionally come in contact with each other.
All I know is I was just nervous talking to him the whole entire time after that.
As soon as you heard, don't touch me. Okay, I'm over here.
He tried to shake my hand. No, it's all right. I'm not going to do that.
Got a cold and everything.
But you now see it with Rondo. And I said this to you before, I think before we went on, just the history, just knowing whether you covered Rajon Rondo like I did or whether you watched him like you did every single game for whatever, 4 or 5 years, you know what Rondo's like. You just knew that Rondo's the type of guy that would do something like that. Like, I would have a hard time believing that Paul Pierce would do that, or Chris Paul would do that, or Giannis Antetokounmpo would do that.
Now, Chris Paul and Rondo have hated each other for 10 years. So there's
and you know what a lot of that goes back to? Do you remember when there were the stories and the rumors about the Celtics trying to trade for Chris Paul?
Okay.
That's a big part of it. That is a big part of it.
How is that Chris Paul's fault?
But that's Rondo. That's Rondo in a nutshell like that. And to me, the fact that he to spit in his face like that and then throw a punch to get 3 games, I think I don't think the NBA screws up a lot of things. I think in general they're pretty good. They're not like the NFL. I think they screwed that one up royally. Rondo deserves a hell of a lot more than 3 games, because what's it going to say, Dale? You can throw a punch now in the NBA and you're only going to get 3 games, maybe 4. You know, don't you want to limit it in this sport, especially the sport and the league that had the malice at the palace 15 years ago? Don't you want to say, okay, hey, you want to take a swing? That's going to cost you 8 games without pay. That's why I'm stunned that it was only 3 games for him, based on what he did.
And the last thing that we'll clear up here, because I'm in the process of just clearing the decks of all the arguments or mistakes that may have been made. Lucy and I have been having a medical disagreement, okay? So Dan Shaughnessy of the Globe tweets out a photograph taken by Stan Grossfeld, the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer for the Boston Globe. He took a picture of Chris Sale Sunday at Fenway. They had a workout at Fenway, and they took a picture, and Dan tweeted it out. And it's Sale delivering a pitch with that left arm of his with what looks like a red lump on his elbow.
It's like a giant red egg.
So Lucy retweets the photograph and says, yeah, that's his elbow. No, it didn't look like his elbow to me. She says, well, you know, like when you sit and you got your elbows down and you sit for a long time, he's out on a baseball field. He's not sitting anywhere.
Here is also what I think. It was cold out. So look at his face. His face is red. When it's cold out, your extremities that are exposed become red. That's just his elbow's very bony, and it got red because it's cold.
Well, you're right about the fact. I mean, his whole body is very bony. I mean, let's be honest. There's not a scrap of fat on that entire body.
I'm sorry, Lucy. I would rather
be on your side than my side.
I'd rather be on your side than Dale's side. But there's something wrong there. That's not normal. That's not the extremities being out. That's not being cold. That's not being outside.
I mean, if I didn't know better, I'd say that looked like a bursa sack.
Yes. And I had said to you off the air when you and I were talking, I had heard somebody, and you got to be careful these days, but I had heard a former player mention that. Oh, you could be a bursa sack. I heard somebody say something
to
that effect.
Which, by the way, gets you in the hospital and antibiotics and all that stuff.
Yep.
The whole stomach bug never quite rang true to me anyway.
The stomach bug first of all, to go to the hospital for a stomach bug and then still not have the stomach bug right after 5 days. Yeah, that sounded like a gigantic excuse. That sounded like they were hiding something. And I don't blame them for doing that.
I truly, this is not like I'm mad at the Red Sox keeping this. But the picture that Grossfeld took and that Dan put on Twitter, It looks like there's a big bump on his elbow. Now, Lucy says that's just his elbow.
That's
we have a disagreement.
Bone. I'm looking at other pictures of Sale's elbow, and it's a little bit redder all the time than the rest of his body.
What is your medical background, Lucy? That's what I would love
I have
to know.
A working
what is ours?
Shut up, Dale.
I mean, what do we have,
Shut
for God's
up,
sake? I don't know anything.
Well, I'm interrogating her.
When you saw the picture, didn't you go,
yeah, right away, as soon as you showed it, you said, hey, look at this. As soon as I looked at it, I go, that's not normal. That doesn't look right.
It didn't look right to me either. And I
all my years of medical training, it doesn't look right.
The close cover before striking school of ministry and heavy machinery. Look, I don't know what's going on, but in his elbow, his whole body looks kind of sinewy and thin. And I mean, all you see is ligaments and tendons and all that stuff attached to the elbow. By the way, I'm surprised a guy like him hasn't blown his arm up by now.
Mm-hmm. Which leads me to this, and I've had this discussion with other people before. There is no way on God's green earth that I even enter into discussions with him during the off season. If I'm
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
For a long term deal?
Yeah.
I don't want to touch a long term deal with this guy. No way. I love him to death. He's a bulldog. He's a great pitcher, but I don't want to deal with this guy for 4 or 5 more years. No. I'll take him next year. If he were willing to sign a 2-year deal, absolutely. If he wants that 4, 5, 6-year deal, not a chance in hell. He is a big-time injury waiting to happen. He is a breakdown waiting to happen.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
So we began the show today talking about David Price and how his remarkable performance in Game 5 of the ALCS may have gone at least some distance towards changing some people's opinion of him. It certainly changes at least your postseason opinion, perhaps. And yet I do think there's a fair chunk of people in this area who just want to see him gone no matter what. Even if he goes out there and wins 2 more games in the World Series and they win a World Series. So I put a poll question up on Twitter. If the Red Sox win the World Series, do you want David Price to opt out of his contract? 1,581 votes so far. 46% say yes. 32% say no. 22% say, how well does he pitch? So it's less than 50% who say yes, I want him gone. But it's still the largest number of the three options.
I got to see how he pitches. I don't, in the end, I said this to you at the start. I just don't think it's likely that he's going to opt out of the contract. I know so many people have discussed it, and we brought that up on shows ad nauseum before. I just think that it's not realistic for him to opt out of the deal. And if they win the World Series, would he want to opt out of the deal? I mean, I guess if he pitches well, you know what? Now that I think of it, Dale, if he pitches well in 1 or 2 starts in the World Series, wins a ring, he might be able to make up close to the amount that he'd be giving up. And he could say, okay, I got my ring, and I'm getting the hell out of that loony bin Boston.
It's
I'm going to go somewhere
sure.
safer.
I also think that there's a certain feeling that happens when you win.
I love these guys. Right.
You know, it's like you're worried about J.D. Martinez. You know, is he going to want to opt out when the time comes? And he's a guy that I would be talking about a contract with this
right now,
offseason
yes.
as well. You know, is he sitting there saying, well, you know, I was thinking about maybe, but I had a really good year here. We won a World Series. People seem to like me. Now I'm going to stay. You know, does Mookie Betts look at an upcoming contract negotiation differently in the aftermath of a World Series? Hey, I want to keep this group together. Look how good we were. We set a record for most wins in franchise history. We went on and won the World Series. Why would I want to get away from that?
Yeah, but you know that can change
I know.
On a dime, especially for somebody like a David Price. I mean, people out there can love David Price in 1 second and then absolutely turn viciously on him the next. He could be the World Series MVP and then start out next year 0-4 and lose to the Yankees twice, and people will be tearing him apart again.
All right, let's do it.
I didn't think that he was going to opt out anyway,
right?
Just because of the numbers. And I think if he goes on and continues to pitch well, as he did in Game 5, and they win a World Series, I think there's even less chance that he opts out.
I just think it makes sense in the end. Win or lose, that I think the David Price thing has run its course. And you and I also talked earlier on about the fact that now he's moving into the latter stages of that deal where typically the pitchers start to come down and pitchers don't pitch as well as they do, obviously, in the first few years of a long-term deal. I think he and the Red Sox get together and David Price says, hey, I'd like to go somewhere else. Can you explore the trade market? The Red Sox say, yeah, you know what? We don't feel like paying you $30 million. Thanks for helping us win a World Series. We'll see what we can do. And they find a trade partner, and they eat some of the salary, and David Price goes somewhere where he makes all his money, and at the same time, he doesn't have to pitch under the pressure of pitching in Boston.
And I do understand that there are some folks out there who are going to say, come on, he had one good playoff start. Let's not go crazy here.
Which is true. Which, they're right.
And that's
right.
Fine. You know, you may not believe that this puts him over the hump. I'll be curious to see what happens in game. I think it'll be game two because I think he might be over the hump. You know, in the same way that people are looking at Jackie Bradley Jr.'s performance and say, come on, what are you kidding? He had three hits in the series. He hit 200. Of course, they lose sight of the fact that there were nine RBIs produced off those two hits.
But the Bradley thing is completely different because the Bradley thing we've seen before in multiple seasons.
Oh, he gets hot.
This is a pattern with Jackie Bradley Jr. where he can't hit for crap for a month and a half, and he's hitting 096, and then all of a sudden he's the second coming of Willie Mays, and he's hitting 350 over the course of a month. So we've seen this with him, and this could be one of those, you know, 15-game stretches for JBJ. Jackie Bradley Jr. I hate the JBJ. Why did I say that?
Well,
Jackie Bradley
Jr. And the other thing that we talked about was going to the National League Park, games 3, 4, and 5, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of this week. The question then becomes, no DH, what do you do? I brought this up last Thursday with Rich. I think the Red Sox should very seriously look at the possibility of moving Mookie into second base so that you can, I mean, sorry, Ian Kinsler is not going to get at bats, but that way you get Martinez into the batting order without being a DH. You still keep Mookie in. You keep Jackie Bradley Jr. in his outfield defense and presumably some continued offensive production as well. To me, that's the way to go. And I found it interesting that the day after Rich and I talked about it, we find out, yeah, he's going to work out at second base and see how things go.
And unless he falls completely flat in his face in the first couple of games, and by the way, he may just fall flat in his face the first couple of games, and you may still make that move because Clayton Kershaw is a pretty damn good pitcher. Clayton Kershaw makes a lot of great hitters look foolish. So, you know, the more I think about it, even if Bradley doesn't hit in the first couple of games, maybe you still run that lineup out there and you do put Mookie Betts at second base.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Rich's on the cell phone. Hey, Rich.
Hi. Hey, I know you're talking about future contracts and winning the World Series, so here's a thought. Money's coming off the table. Hanley's $22 million. I think Drew Pomeranz is around $9 million. That's $31 million. And you got Kimbrel is about $12 or whatever. So I'm thinking about not recommitting all that money so that when Martinez, Betts, Benintendi, Bogart, even Bradley come up for their contracts when they finally get out of arbitration and everything, you got dough. So I'm thinking that if they win the World Series, it's easier for them to stand a little pat, and they don't offer anybody any, you know, they offer a little here and there. They don't offer any big contracts. And then you got Porcello coming off the books next year, too. And I would seriously doubt, well, depending on the year he had, but he's not a slam dunk to want to sign him to $20 million a year for a number of years.
I'm not worried about, I'm not worried about Porcello. What I'm worried about is JD Martinez, who's got an opt out after next year, and I don't want him, I don't want that to be involved.
After next year. So
I don't want, you approach it now.
Right. JD Martinez is the only guy that I want right now during this offseason to say, let's talk about a long term extension. What's your price?
All right.
Let's see if we can come together on something.
They're going to need the money to keep their players. They can't get, you know, that's what I think they should
Rich, they can still go out and add other players and add money to this team. They've got the money.
I'll make the hockey equivalent to this just because that's what I'm known for. Reports came out over the last few days that Don Sweeney has apparently begun negotiations with Charlie McAvoy's representative about a contract. Well, it's exactly what you should do. You've got a young stud cornerstone defenseman who, yeah, okay, you don't have to address it now. Yeah, you could keep playing this thing, but address it now. Get it over with. Martinez, I would absolutely do it. Now, you and I have a disagreement about Sale. I would approach that one this offseason as well.
Okay, what would you
would hold off.
What would you do? Why would you approach it this offseason based on the big giant egg that
there's,
he has?
There's nothing
Lucy,
wrong
on
with his
elbow.
His elbow is just cold.
With a cold elbow, why would you want to re-sign
it? Because it'll warm up soon.
But why, with all of his history, late season breaking down history, his size, his age, as he's about to be 30 years old in another year, why would you want to re-sign him to a long-term deal?
Because I think he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and I want to keep him here.
Will he be in 2 years, though?
Yes, I think he still will be in 2 years. Now, look, his arm could fall off tomorrow. I understand that. When you do what he does for a living, there are always, you know, dangers in doing it.
That's true, but isn't he at the higher percentile of someone who could just fall off right away and get hurt? Isn't it more likely that Chris Sale would break down as opposed to a bunch of other pitchers at 30, 31?
It's possible. It's certainly possible, but I'm willing to take that chance.
So you're willing to do the...
Yes.
Okay, I'll do a five-year deal. I think he's going to be great for 2 years, and I may have to eat salary for 2 or 3 years.
I'd sure look at it.
Okay.
Those are two guys that I would absolutely approach this offseason. Look, I'd do it with Mookie too, but I don't think he will.
Yeah. See, I'm not touching Chris Sale until I see Chris Sale completely healthy for an entire season. That means next year. I don't even touch it or approach it during this offseason.
Jerome's in Scituate. Hey, Jerome.
Hey, Dale. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Jerome.
Doing great.
Good. Hey, listen, Dale, you know, you almost got me to bite on that question. But you know what? I'm all in on David Price, and let me tell you why quickly. You know, I could give a damn less what those candy buttered baseball reporters give. You know, why? Because David Price doesn't give them the right answers when he interviews them?
That's got nothing to do with anything, and nobody's even brought them up.
How come he gets all the negative publicity in the newspaper?
Has he gotten any this year?
Sure, he
got some earlier there, sure.
I mean, sure, since June, have you read a discouraging word about this guy?
I mean, Jerome, in the past, you don't think that he's brought some of the negative publicity against himself?
Well, yeah, but don't stand there and tell me that there's been no negative publicity.
There's been virtually none this year. There was the thing about, you know, his tingling fingers and what caused
that.
The last thing was the Johnny Miller thing. He was absolutely not being serious.
You know what Johnny Miller's
relationship is with those
it just
players.
It didn't sound right. It sounded like he was being a dick. People who don't know what we know might take it the wrong way.
He was just doing the, come on, Johnny, I'm not going to do your job for you.
Again, they have a certain relationship.
Yeah.
What about when he said, listen, I can take you both on. I've fought more than two guys at once before. What about when he said he was too soft?
I'm sorry, I don't remember that at all.
When did he
say he could fight two people? When was this?
Me, I'll take both of you on. I don't care.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, it's time to go.
I don't make a habit of trying to fight 70-year-old men.
He might be a spitter, though. Better watch out.
That's a good point by you, Lucy.
Yeah, but if he spits at me, Lucy, you know what? I'm pulling a Rondo, baby.
I'm pulling
a Chris Paul, poking him in the eye like Mo.
Pete's in Ohio. Hey, Pete.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Great, Pete. How are you?
Hey, listen, I got a question and a statement. Pedroia, how much do they owe Pedroia? Now, I know he's hurt and whatnot, but what's his contract term?
He's got three.
Do you know?
Does he have 3 years left? I don't know the numbers, but I want to say it's 3 years left. It's got to be about 12, 14 million. Does that sound familiar?
I don't know.
We'll look it up. What's your point about Pedroia?
Well, what kind of money I guess it's guaranteed anyways. It doesn't really matter. But you got me thinking about the contracts and the money, right?
Yep.
So say they win the World Series. Say they sweep in four straight. Is this the best Red Sox team?
If they win the World Series and they've already set the franchise record for most wins, and on the road to winning a World Series, they beat a 100-win team and a 103-win team, yes, this will be the best Red Sox team of all time.
Isn't that hard to grasp, though, compared to 2004?
That's the greatest story. 2004 is the greatest story.
It was the greatest story.
This would be the greatest team. I agree.
But if you were to compare the two teams, what would you take?
I take the 0-4 team.
Well, that's not the question.
No, I know.
The question is, what's the best team ever? If they win 100, well, they did win 108. if they beat a Yankees team with 100 wins and beat a Houston team with 103 wins.
That was the defending champion.
And then win the World Series, they're the best team ever.
Against the team with what? The Dodgers had the second best record. I think in the National League.
Yeah. So
that would be the greatest Red Sox team of all time, not the greatest Red Sox story championship team. That's obviously 04. By the way, Dustin Pedroia,
I've got the numbers per year.
3 years, 15 per?
No, $15 million next year, $13 million in 2020, $12 million in 2021.
Okay.
So it averages about
$13 million a year for 3 years.
But his overall point, what difference does it make? Yeah. It's all guaranteed money. You got to pay him either way.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, time to catch up on some stories that we might have missed. So, Greg, you're up first and give us an idea.
What else you got?
Well, there's a certain football player that likes to... He likes to talk a lot, and usually he's very brash and likes to talk up himself and his team. Not the case right now with Jalen Ramsey as the Jags lose again. He said after yesterday's loss, y'all walk in here and see how it is in here. Y'all see how we vibe with each other. Y'all see how we vibe towards the coaches. Y'all see how it is. It's no secret what's going on in here right now. Ain't nobody gonna say it's because we can't, but it ain't no secret what's going on, and it ain't right now. It is what it is. Talking about, obviously, the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the offense, Blake Bortles, gets benched, and their head coach, Doug Marrone, also yesterday, feeling the heat, and Doug Marrone got a little sensitive,
a little testy,
in his post-game press conference as well when asked about whether Blake Bortles is his quarterback next week. Pretty amazing the difference, Dale, between these two teams, the Patriots and the Jaguars, since they last met 4 weeks ago.
What else you got?
Okay, Rossi, your turn, pal. You had... Oh, no! Who? All right. Greg?
What? Excuse me?
Oh!
No, not Greg. What? Brad.
Oh, I thought it said Greg. Oh.
Brad.
It kind of sounds like Greg, but it's Brad.
It sounds like Greg.
It sounds like Greg.
Oh, Brad Stevens' birthday today.
Brad Stevens' birthday.
Let's be honest. That sounded totally like Greg and not like
Brad.
Well,
listen, my voice guy, he doesn't, you know, he does his best.
So, Brad Stevens' birthday today.
Brad Stevens.
He's, what, 28? 27?
He looks like he's 13.
18.
Oh, 18.
All right, one final note. And this comes from the Karma is a Bitch department. The Twitter site Only in Boston tweeted out the footage of this. I've got it in front of me, and I watched it. On Friday night, a Lamborghini caught fire outside the Boston Public Library in Copley Square after the driver kept revving its engine too much. Kids, this is what happens when you flex too hard. And they're showing the cell phone footage of this Lamborghini burning to a crisp.
So it doesn't make me a bad person when I saw this video the other day.
Just laughed.
And I laughed and I said, good.
No, it makes you a bad person.
Okay, well, but that's all right. If you were trying to rev your Toyota Corolla and it burned to a crisp, I would not laugh.
Thing.
I would feel very badly for you.
But your Lamborghini.
I don't feel so badly
stuff
for
happens.
You.
OMF is coming up next. It is a Patriots Monday. They'll talk to Bill Belichick. I don't know exactly what time. Oh, 3. 3 o'clock. Thank you. 3 o'clock today. Bill Belichick will be on with those guys. Rich will be back tomorrow. Greg, thanks for coming in today. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.